You're listening to The Dave Glover Show.
Is it fate or random chance? How can I decide? Are we victims of circumstance when destinies collide?
Welcome back, guys. 97.1 FM Talk. Dave Glover Show. A bit past 6 p.m. on a Wednesday.
It's flying by this week.
Let's see. Gosh, when's the last time? I was probably in fourth grade when I got my first guitar, and the very first thing I learned, because it's what everybody learns, is that famous Chuck Berry, you know,
yep.
Which is actually a very famous Johnny Johnson lick.
Yeah,
and you learn this as you go on, because you know, who the hell's Johnny Johnson? Then you realize he's an absolute giant, an absolute legend.
I think he was the king of rock and roll,
man. Goodness gracious.
I really do.
Everybody. From Elvis to the Beatles to the Rolling Stones to the Who, everybody, whether they realized it or not, was building on the very wide shoulders of Mr. Johnny Johnson. And Art Holliday with KSDK News Channel 5 is directing a documentary about the man and his life. Art, good to talk to you, man.
Dave, how are you?
I am fantastic, thank you. So what is your interest? Are you just a music fan? When did you discover Johnny Johnson? And tell us how the whole thing came to be.
Well, I'm a huge music fan, and that's one of the things that attracted me to the project. Actually, one of my coworkers at KSDK, Tony Chambers, he's one of our videographers. He's also a musician in a band called Serapis.
Oh, yeah.
And
sure.
So he knows a lot of people in the local music community, and he's friends with Gene Ackman, who was producing a CD with Johnny a few years ago. And he stopped by my desk one day, and he knew that I was working on another documentary, and he said, you know, I know you're into documentaries, and, you know, Johnny Johnson's got all these great people coming into town and working on this CD with him. It had Bonnie Raitt and John Sebastian and Johnny Rivers and Bruce Hornsby, and he said, you know, he might make an interesting documentary. And so I met with Johnny and Francis Johnson, and we sat down and talked a little bit, and they liked some of my ideas, and I listened to what they had to say, and that was a little over 4 years ago. And since then, I've been working on this documentary. I've made 16 road trips to different cities. I've been to Chicago 3 times, New York 2 times. I've been as far north as Toronto, as far south as Macon, Georgia. And all the amazing people that Johnny came in contact with have stepped up to the plate, and when they hear that I'm doing a documentary about Johnny, they say, hey, you know, let's do this. And, you know, so I've gotten interviews with Eric Clapton and Bonnie Raitt and Joe Perry of Aerosmith, Bob Weir, the Grateful Dead co-founder, Bo Diddley, Michael McDonald, Chuck Lavelle, the keyboardist for the Rolling Stones, Taylor Hackford, the movie director, Paul Schaefer from the Letterman Band, John Sebastian, who's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And, you know, when these people, they just light up when they hear Johnny's name. They were huge fans. Many of them either recorded with him or performed with him. And they've all stepped up to become part of this 4-year project that I've been working on.
You know, the first time I became aware of Johnny Johnson was a film called Hell, Hell, Rock and Roll.
Yes. Right.
And he's in that fairly prevalently. And even Keith Richards talks about him and how that was really his riff, because it's a piano key, not a guitar key. But what I was most impressed with Mr. Johnson wasn't even his playing or his musical genius. He was one of the most humble, unassuming, nice people that I just ever seen on film.
Well, and that's, as soon as people finish talking about Johnny's musical abilities, which were incredible, they talk about the fact that he was an even greater human being. People genuinely enjoyed being around Johnny. The thing that I found in the 2 years that I got to hang out with Johnny and travel around the country a little bit and interview him on several different occasions, he had zero interest in trying to impress you about what he had accomplished or who he had performed with or any of that. Johnny was just all about playing in a band, whether it was performing at a local club with musicians that you might not have heard of, or, you know, being flown to London to perform with Eric Clapton or becoming part of the Hail Hail Rock and Roll concert that you mentioned. That is a huge part of my documentary because that was a big turning point for Johnny. By the mid-'80s, Johnny had kind of fallen off the musical map, and along come Keith Richards, the music director for Hail Hail Rock and Roll, and Taylor Hackford, the director, and they came to St. Louis, and you know, they went to Chuck Berry and said, if we want to recreate the authentic Chuck Berry sound for this, you know, this documentary about your music, we need to find the piano player. So they found Johnny, not really knowing how well he was playing by that point, and it turns out he was playing quite well, and that appearance in that film changed the last 20 years of Johnny's life. And if not for Hail Hail Rock and Roll, he would not have gone into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It just caused everybody to reevaluate his relationship with Chuck Berry and to pay attention to him as a musician.
Yeah. Art, did you interview Chuck Berry for this project?
I have not. Johnny and I, about a year before Johnny died, we went out to see Chuck at Blueberry Hill, and Johnny introduced me to him, and we spoke and exchanged contact information and everything. But Chuck sent word back through his attorney that he wanted script approval.
Wow.
And so, you know, I don't know if an interview with Chuck will ever happen. The one thing that I do want to say is because if you do a film about Johnny Johnson, it doesn't automatically mean that you're trying to take away from Chuck Berry's legacy, because Chuck Berry is an icon. He's an internationally known figure. For about 7 or 8 years, he was as prolific as any rock and roll artist, writing a tremendous catalog of music. But the interesting thing to me is that 50 years after the fact, people are still willing to debate Johnny's role in writing those songs. And, you know, so we'll take a look at all of that and celebrate Johnny's music, examine some of the controversy, and listen to a lot of world-class musicians talk about Johnny Johnson.
And, you know, that really brings all the more into focus the man, Johnny Johnson. And you have all these people who will claim to be the king of rock and roll, whether it's, you know, it's Chuck or it's Elvis or it's Little Richard or whoever. Then you have this one guy who's on the other side of the fence just saying, I couldn't care less what you call me or what kind of credit I get. I just want to play the music.
Well, and Johnny would be the first to tell you that of all the genres that he played, rock and roll was probably his least favorite. Johnny was a jazz guy and a boogie-woogie guy and a blues guy. It just so happened that he took all those musical forms and brought them into the song-creating process with Chuck Berry, and those two guys were two of the architects of rock and roll. They brought out the best in each other, and they made some amazing music. The saddest part about the Chuck Berry-Johnny Johnson relationship is that they didn't perform together longer.
This must be kind of tough for you, I would think, as a filmmaker. You immerse yourself in a topic, a subject, a person, and then someday you finish it. And that must be kind of bittersweet.
You know, no, it's not bittersweet at all. And here's why. A project like this is incredibly labor-intensive because I already mentioned that, you know, I've made 16 different road trips, flying and driving all over the country. Not only that, but I'm licensing photos and video and film and music. And so there are a lot of legal issues that have to be taken care of. And besides that, you've got to figure out how to pay for it all. So there's just a tremendous amount of work that goes into it. And I'm doing it in my spare time. I burn up a lot of my vacation time, you know, making these trips to different cities and everything. And I'm thrilled to do it because, you know, last April, for instance, I spent the week on the East Coast. I started off in New York City. And, you know, the doorbell to my hotel room rings and Eric Clapton standing there ready to do a 45-minute interview. So I do that, get in my vehicle, drive a couple of hours, go to Woodstock, and I interview John Sebastian, who I think told the best story that anybody's told me in 2000 when he went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with the Love and Spoonful. He sent his Rock and Roll Hall of Fame trophy here to St. Louis to Johnny Johnson's house with a note saying, all of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees remember what you did, and we'll never forget.
My goodness.
You hold on to this until you get into the Hall of Fame.
And a year later,
Johnny was in.
That's quite a story.
That just made my day there.
So most of us will never get to meet one of these people, much less most of them. What were they like? I mean, did you find for the most part the Claptons and Sebastians of the world were just nice, down-to-earth people?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Eric Clapton came in, and I had some, I was listening to some Johnny Johnson music, and we started talking about, I mentioned this solo that Johnny did on a Buddy Guy song called 7-Eleven. I think it's one of the best solos that he ever did. And I asked Eric if he had heard it, and he said no, so I turned it up, and we were listening to that, and he got this big grin on his face, you know, that smile that one great musician reserves for another one, you know, like acknowledging, yeah, this guy can play, you know. I went down to Macon, Georgia. You remember when Keith Richards had his accident with the tree and the Rolling Stones tour was suspended. I had been communicating with Chuck Lavelle, their longtime keyboardist, and I said, hey, you know, you guys are, you know, the tour is suspended for a while. Is this a good time to come down and do the interview? And he said, come on down. So, you know, I drive down to Macon, Georgia, you know, and you're driving down this road, and all of a sudden my satellite GPS unit tells me to turn into this forest. And sure enough, there's a road cut in between these tall pine trees. And Lavelle lives on a 2,000-acre pine tree plantation. He is a published environmentalist. He's won all kinds of awards. So when he's not, you know, playing with Mick and Keith, he's living down in Macon, Georgia, tending to his 2,000-acre pine tree plantation. So, you know, he runs over to my truck and shakes my hand, and, you know, we've got this connection because of Johnny, and he invites me into his house, and, hey, can I make you a cup of coffee? And I said, yeah, sure, you know. And so I'm sitting there thinking, wow, one of the Rolling Stones is making me coffee. You know. But, yeah, all these guys. I mean, John Sebastian, I told you that story. I did Al Kooper outside of Boston, the you know, the founder of Blood, Sweat, and Tears. I mean, Al Kooper, he's 50 years into his career. And, you know, I just meeting all these legends. And then Taylor Hackford invited me out to Hollywood to his home to do his interview, where he was talking about working with Johnny during the Hail Hill Rock and Roll filming and everything. And the interesting thing that Hackford said was that, you know, we have this all-star band that includes, you know, Keith Richards and Eric Clapton and Robert Cray and Jimmy Spampinato on bass, and Julian Lennon, and Linda Ronstadt, and on and on and on. And he said, all these people are leaders in their own right. And he said it was fascinating to see them gravitate to Johnny Johnson and follow his lead. And if any of your listeners have purchased the multi-disc DVD of Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll that came out last year, they've got some behind-the-scenes rehearsal footage. And you can see exactly what Taylor Hackford's talking about when they have these impromptu jam sessions. And Johnny's, you know, pointing to different people and telling them who, you know, to play a solo. And, you know, it's your turn now. And, you know, it's just fascinating. Yeah. But they all just love the guy. And I've got probably way more material that I can squeeze into the documentary, and that's a good problem to have.
And people can get involved themselves, correct? I mean, people can make contributions and be a part of this project?
They can. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about that just because it's a little bit awkward for me. But if anyone is interested, there's information on my website. It's johnnybegood.net, Johnny with an I-E, B-E-G-O-O-D, johnnybegood.net. Or, you know, I'm pretty easy to find. So if anyone does have an interest, but, you know, it's over the 4 years I've been working on this, it was in the beginning, it was just me and my editor. And slowly but surely, the Higher Education Channel has stepped up. The Caleb Committee in University City has come up with a couple of grants for me. The Argosy Casino held a fundraiser for me. You know, just the St. Louis Blues Society has approached me about helping out. You know, so it's really, Johnny's got a lot of friends. The Johnny Johnson Band has said, you know, anytime you need music at an event, call us, we'll be there. You know, so it's, a lot of people are stepping up to help me, you know, bring this thing across the finish line.
This is something that, honestly, Art, you really deserve thanks for. As a musician who has a little 12-year-old guy who is a musician, someday he will watch your documentary, and that may be the one and only introduction he has to Mr. Johnson and his legacy. So as a musician, thank you for doing this.
You know, I'm a music fan, so I'm meeting a lot of my own personal music heroes. I told Eric Clapton, I said, I've been listening to you since I was in college. The St. Louis Business Journal did an article maybe about a year ago, a little more than that, about the documentary. And a few days later, I get a phone call, and this guy goes, Art, you don't know me, but I went to grade school with Michael McDonald, and we're still really good friends. And he's coming into town with Steely Dan. Would you like me to call him for you? Because I know he was a fan of Johnny Johnson. And I said, sure, absolutely. So, sure enough, a few days later, I'm checking the voicemail on my cell phone. Hey, Art, Mike McDonald, give me a call. And so, sure enough, he came into town for the Steely Dan concert out at Verizon. And he invited me over to his hotel suite, did a great interview. And then the next night at the concert, he's wearing one of my documentary T-shirts on stage. So that's one of the photos that I have on my website.
Guys, that's Art Holliday from Channel 5. The website is johnnyiebegood.com. And, again, nice work. I can't wait to see it, and it's good to talk to you, Art.
Thank you for your interest in the documentary, and I'll keep you posted.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break. Be back. More Dave Glover Show.